Good morning. I'll go ahead and reiterate, happy Father's Day. Because it's Father's Day, a lot of stuff's been on my mind about Father. I still consider myself a new father. My little girl, she'll be 4 this year, but that's still pretty new. Still got a lot to learn. But thankfully, I have the Word of God to help me on that. I need to use that in my day-to-day life. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, it states, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Salt. Be that salt of the earth, that seasoning influence. You know, like I said earlier, it's Father's Day. So many things I've seen so far is, you know, it's like, well, treat him like a king today, or do something nice for your husband, or do something nice for the father, or whatever. So oftentimes, especially this culture nowadays, they portray the father, if they even portray him at all, as that bumbling idiot that has no clue what to do. And yes, there are those bumbling idiots that have no clue what to do. Why? Because they're not studying this word. They're not adhering to, "Thus saith the Lord." I want to be that good seasoning influence on my family. That's what I'm commanded to do as my family. I'm supposed to be the head of the household, not the ruler with an iron rod. I'm supposed to be the guiding influence. And what do I need to guide my life with? The Word of God. If I'm guiding, if I'm reading this Word, if I'm adhering to "Thus saith the Lord," leading my family should be no issue. Now, I didn't say it wouldn't be a problem. There are problems in life. We have trials and tribulations in this world. Leading, guiding my family with His Word. It's the light unto my path, is it not? It shows me what I need to do. Now, no, it doesn't tell me how to change diapers. It doesn't tell me how am I going to make the next mortgage payment. But, brethren, it does tell me to trust and lean upon Him. Not to lean upon my own understanding. If I'm trying to make it on my own, I'm going to fail. I need His life. I need His Word. So Matthew chapter 5, we see the Lord says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Be that seasoning influence. But He says, but if the salt has lost its savor, it's lost its influence. And so oftentimes I think that's what our culture is nowadays. The father has lost the influence. There is no more of that patriarchal society. We have our Heavenly Father. That's the one we pray to. And if you look at the father's the family structure, the father is supposed to be the head of the household. And if that offends somebody, you are offended by the Word of God. But listen, again, I'm not saying we rule our families with a rod of iron. What does it tell the father, the man to do in his relationship? To love his wife. Cleave unto her. She is supposed to be the appropriate helpmeet for him. So many people want to just take the Word of God and read just a portion of it and be like, "I don't want to follow that. I don't want to submit to that." Well, I need to be submissive unto my Heavenly Father. I'm the one who is accountable. I'm the one who has got his head on the chopping block, if you will. The Lord holds the Father accountable. And I need to be accountable to that. So if you're worried about how you're going to focus and run and do the things you need to do in this life, read His Word. Read and search the Scriptures and find out how I need to do and how I need to live. But He says to be that salt and that seasoning influence. We need to be a good influence on our family. And not just the family. We need to be a good influence no matter where we are. If we keep reading in verse 14, He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." We can be that seasoning influence, and we can be a shining light in a dark place if we're following His word. If we're living according to thus saith the Lord, using this as our guideline, using this as what we need to live by. This is the standards. You know, especially in this society we live in today, good and evil, the lines are becoming blurred. Trying to say that evil is good and good is evil. No, this doesn't blur any lines. It's very clear on what's good and what's right and what's honest. We need to be living and adhering to thus saith the Lord. In Proverbs 20, verse 7, it says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Can't you see the man that walketh in his integrity, learning and trying? It says the just man. So if he's a just man, he is following the word of God and adhering to the word of God and not letting it waver. He walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. That seasoning influence, that shining light. The Lord gives us light. So let us shine forth our light. Because in verse 16 in Matthew chapter 5 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Those good works, those influences that we have in our lives. So see those good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what we're here to do. We're here to do good works. We're here to be a seasoning influence. We're here to shine forth that light. That's our job. And that goes for the fathers, but it goes for all of us. You know, if all of us were to do that, what better world would this place be? If everybody would shine forth that light, if everybody would show forth that love they have one to another. Now, I know there's some people you just can't get along with. I get it. I've met them. You just can't get along with them. But I'm so thankful I'm not having to try to save their souls. If I can't get along with them, maybe I can avoid them. Maybe I can try to stay away from them. But still letting that light shine. Not letting it degrade. Not letting my zeal decline. If I have a opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord, I want to do that. I need to do that. I should do that. And especially as a father, that's my job. I want to be that good influence on my family. I want my children to grow up knowing the love that the Lord has for them. I don't want my children growing up thinking that the Lord is some harsh dictator that rules up somewhere that I can't see. No, He is a loving Father. All the blessings that He showers upon us and what He did for us, sending His only begotten Son to die upon a cross for me and for them and all of His elect family. That's love. So there is one huge example for us as fathers. I know I'm picking on y'all, but hey, I'm picking on me too. It's a huge example for us. The best example we have is our Heavenly Father. What He did for us. What He still does for His children. He's a loving Father. Now, our Father still chastens us. Remember thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me, though, right? Some people say, well, that whooping I got wasn't very comfortable. Well, it wasn't supposed to be. But it should be a comfort later in life knowing that my parents cared enough to show me and try to steer me in the right direction. But remember, if we spare the rod, we spoil the child. There has to be that balance. Now, I'm not saying you got to take and run them out there and beat this tar out of them or whatever. Sometimes you may feel like it. But we should never do it out of anger. Because our Heavenly Father is a just God. Even in His discipline, there's mercy. Even in His chastisements, there's love. So as we try to do our life and try to live according to thus saith the Lord, remember we have the greatest example to live by. And even Christ, when He came in bodily form here and walked among us, He went about doing good everywhere He went. And He still showed forth that love. And He taught that if we're going to be like him, what do we need to do? What's the first thing? If any man be to be like me, if any man will come after me, first, deny himself. Now, how many times do we have to deny ourselves and see to the needs of others? The more we need to do that, the more we have that in our mindset, the more our heart is touched and tender towards God, we're going to be having that willingness to do that, denying ourselves and seeing what needs. Because as good fathers, you look and see what the needs of your family are. The Lord said, ye being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more with our Heavenly Father? How much more does the love that he shows, how much more? We're evil. We're unclean. But we even still know we need to do good by our kids. We love them. We cherish them. We do what we can for them. But never forget, our Father is in heaven. He did so much for me. I owe him my life. I am accountable to him. And I want to try to run my family the way that he laid out. Because God ordained the family. He's the one that set up the family. Our society is trying to change that. Well, they can say whatever they want to. They can pass laws for whatever they want to, but it doesn't change the fact. God's way is right. Amen. And that will never change.
Amen.
So, as we started, you are the salt of the earth. Let us try to be that seasoning influence. No matter where we are, try to be that good influence. I've often said, you know, you're going to influence somebody. You may not realize it, but you're probably going to influence somebody in your life. If you're going to influence them, be a good one. Be a good influence. Because you never know who's watching. My little girl, she proves to me every day that I better be watching what I do. She wants to do just what Daddy's doing. Wants to say what Daddy says. So let us try to flee from evil. And be that salt and be that seasoning influence. Especially us fathers, let us try to be that good and seasoning influence on the family. Because I tell you, having good godly parents, that is one of the best gifts in the world. I've seen families, broken families. I've had friends that didn't know what it was like to have a mom and a daddy that loved each other. I'm so thankful that I didn't have to grow up like that. I'm so thankful for that. But even if you have grown up in that broken home, even if you have never seen that in your life, brothers and sisters, we see a good example in here. It tells us how a husband and wife are supposed to be. It tells us how children are supposed to act towards their parents. It tells us what we need to know. But how much are we availing ourselves to it? You know, it's like if you have a headache, you want to take some medicine to make it go away. But if you just leave it in the bottle, it's not going to do you any good. This is medicine. This is our daily food. We need it each and every day. So let us try to be those good influences on life from here on out. Even if we hadn't been in the past. I can't do anything about the past. I can't go back in time. I can't change it. But I can do something about now. I can do better now. And if anybody says, well, I can't do any better, well, you're not trying. There's always room for improvement. We're human. We're frail. There's always room for improvement. And that's what our mark needs to be. Lord Christ. The sinless perfection. I'll never reach that, this side of glory. But that's my mark. And the higher the bar is, the higher I'm going to reach. So let us try to be good salt and seasoning this influence in our world, especially as fathers, on our families, wherever we can. And remember, we're not dictators. Sometimes you have to lay the law down, but always do it with that love that our Heavenly Father shows us each and every day. Aren't you thankful that He's not like us? Aren't you thankful that He's not like me? Aren't you thankful that, you know, if I do wrong, I'd be gone in an instant? Now think if you had all that power. I'm so thankful he doesn't have a mind like me. I'm so thankful he is like he is. And thanks be unto God, He is like He is, and He'll never change. So because we have His Word, let us avail ourselves to it, read His Word, and be that salt, be that good seasoning influence. Thank you for your kind attention. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Give a hearty amen to that, and thankful for what the Lord has taught us in His Word. You know, a lot of thoughts ran through my mind when Brother Kenneth was speaking, one of which, this world, world system that we're living in, they are, seems like they're trying to unravel everything that the Word of God has brought an influence upon our culture. They want to, a lot of folks in this world would like for the government to replace God. You know, I'm thankful this morning that we believe this Word, that we stand upon this Word, and I appreciate the message that we've heard with regard to fathers. And I want to just continue along the lines of our Father. A lot of things that Brother Kenneth has already said that pointed us to our Father, but that's that's one thing I like about this holiday that's been set aside. You know, I've often said if there's a holiday, if anybody deserves a holiday, it's mothers. Yeah. But I appreciate that we have a Father's Day. But what I like to do is acknowledge that, but quickly look to our Heavenly Father, because He deserves all of our attention, all of our adoration, all of our allegiance, because part of the fact that we have fathers and fathers that have good influence upon their children is because of this good teaching that we have in the Word of God. Amen. And the Father that He is, as we've already heard. So I want to notice, you know, when Jesus gave us the model prayer, remember how that begins? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed. The only place you find that word in the New Testament, hallowed. And it belongs to Him. His name is above every name. His name is the one that's hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. Now, when we preach the doctrine of election, and when we talk about how that God chose out His people before the foundation of the world, there's a lot of people that get upset, a lot of good people that truly love the Lord and truly love God's people, but they don't embrace, they don't have the understanding about the doctrine of election. They really, seems like some of them get upset when you talk about the doctrine of election. But when you say our Father, that embraces the doctrine of election. Because who in this, you know, did any of us have any choice about who our Father is? No. We were born into that family. We don't have a choice about who our Father is. When you say our Father, then if He's your Father, it's because He chose you. It's because you were born into His family. And if we know that, then it's because we've been born again into that family. And so when we think about someone who can sincerely call upon God, the God of heaven, as their Father, it's because they've been born again of the Spirit. They have the Spirit within them. They have that within them that enables them to cry, Abba, Father, our Father. And as we study the Word of God, and as we grow in our experience and understanding about who God is, I tell you, He's worthy to be praised, isn't He? You know, I appreciate the song service this morning. There's so much that we sang with regard to praising His holy name. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul identifies the Lord. He says, when he's talking about ceasing not to give thanks for the brethren at Ephesus, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's the Father of glory. When we think about the glory of God, what do you think about? You know, we're told in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God. Well, I understand that, they don't quote Scripture. I've even heard someone one time mock that idea that the heavens could declare the glory of God. Well, wait a minute. That's what the Word of God says, that the heavens declare the glory of God. And they do that 24/7, 365 and a fourth days out of the year. They're always doing exactly what God made them to do. They're shining forth. You know, that's what he's called us to do. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should show forth his praises. His praises. The praises of our Father, the one who made us. The one whose purpose chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. His glory, bless your hearts, he's the Father of it. All right? It originates with him, the Father of glory. Let's see. Let's turn to Psalm 8 very quickly. Psalm 8. I might could quote it, but I want to make sure I get it right. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now, his name's excellent everywhere, isn't it? But the psalmist is speaking here about how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now, listen. It is excellent in all the earth. But you know what? We have the privilege of saying so. We have the knowledge of being able to say so. How often do we take that opportunity to say so? We ought to be speaking his glory every day. We ought to be doing those things that brings glory to his name every day. Because as I mentioned, there's a lot of people in this world who care nothing about the Lord, who are not interested in the things that the Lord in his word tells us that we should be doing. And more important than any other time in history, I believe it's important for God's people to be standing up and giving glory to his name. It's our privilege, but it's also our responsibility to live before this world in a way that shows forth who our Father is. Okay? So he said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. He's the Father of glory. His glory is above the heavens, and the heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. Bless your hearts, we also ought to be declaring the glory of God every day. So that's who God is. He's the Father of glory. Now, we could spend all day talking about who God is. He's the Father of glory. His glory is above the heavens. John tells us in 1 John chapter 4 that God is love. So if we don't bring in, and I appreciated what Brother Kenneth had to say about that, if we don't bring in the idea that God is love, we're missing the mark. Now, that's not all that he is, but he is love. Everything that we understand about love is of God. It's from God. And God so loved the world that he what? He didn't just send a messenger, though he sent many messengers. He didn't just inspire a book, though he's inspired 66 books, right? He gave. What a model. What an example. What a blessing of what God gave. Everything that we see about our God is love, manifests His love. You might say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Doesn't God have wrath? Yes, but it's holy wrath. He has a right to it because He's good and holy and right and just in all that He does. And what He has done for us is to save us from our sins. Oh, as we think about the love, I'll have more to say about the love of God, hopefully, a little bit later. But when we think about our God, our Father, I want us to think about who He is, how glorious He is, how loving He is, how right and just and holy He is. It's proclaimed in the Bible that He's holy, holy, holy. I think that covers it, doesn't it? The holiness of our God. That's why we bow before Him. That's why we reverence His holy name. That's why His name is hallowed, because of who He is. Not only do we notice who He is, but what He's done for us. And I've already touched on that a little bit, haven't I? You can't talk about what God's done for us without talking about Him sending His Son into this world to save us from our sins. So as we think about His glory, we think about His glory being above the heavens. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." See, we talked about Him being the Father of glory. His glory is above the heavens. But He says He shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You want to see the brightest expression of the glory of God? Look upon your Savior. Look upon the one that He sent into this world to save His people from their sins. There's the brightest expression of the glory of God that you'll find. I rejoice when I look into the heavens and I see the stars. I rejoice to think about all the celestial bodies that's there and the brightness of it and the beauty of it and the expansiveness of it, because all of those things speak of the greatness and the power of our God. It speaks of what He's provided for us when He made this universe. But I'm going to tell you again, the brightest expression of the glory of God is found in the face of Jesus Christ. When we understand who He is, when we understand God's purpose in sending Him to this world, bless your hearts, then we see the glory of God and what He's done for us. And so He speaks of how that the glory of God is in the face of Jesus. The brightest expression of it is in the face of Jesus Christ. Now let's go to the book of Hebrews. As we expand upon the idea of the brightest expression of His glory is in His Son, the face of Jesus Christ, the identity of Jesus Christ, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Hebrews. Listen to how the book of Hebrews begins. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Now His Son is the brightest expression of the glory of God, right? All right? He's spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Isn't that right? John tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. That capital W on Word is pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God before it was made flesh and dwelt among us. But in the book of Hebrews it says here, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Who being the brightness of His glory, the brightest expression, if you will, of the glory of God, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, Whose person? The person of the Father. I realize God is spirit, but we also know that the scripture says, let us make man in our own image. All right? So we have some idea of the image of God, the Father. All right? So he says, and the express image of his person. I've told you this before, but let me remind you. That word image, there's two different English words that come from the original, or there's two words in the original language that's translated into English as image. And one of those words is icon. Okay, I may not be pronouncing the Greek properly, but we get our English word icon from that. And that's a representation. Just like when Jesus was questioned about whether it was lawful to pay taxes. And he says, show me a penny. And they showed him a penny. He said, whose image and superscription is this? That was just, that image on that coin is just a likeness. Just a superficial likeness, a representation. That's not the word that's used here in Hebrews 1:3. That word, that image here, was translated from something that we get our English word, character. Now, character goes a whole lot deeper than an image, right? Than a representation, than an icon. Here he says, and the express character of his person. So we begin to see why the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest, the brightest expression of his glory, because he is the exact representation of the character of God, the Father. Didn't Jesus tell Philip in John chapter 14, when Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, Philip? And have you not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Because Jesus is the brightest expression of his glory and the express image of his person. And so that's why the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest expression of the glory of God, is because he is the express image of the Father. And so as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at the love, as we look at his mercy, as we look at his compassion, as we look at the miracles and the power that he manifested, not only in healing disease, but raising the dead. And we see the greatest expression of the Father that we'll be able to see in this world. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So we see how God provided us a representation of himself by sending his Son into this world. And so as we see what he did, not only who he is, but what did he do? He sent his Son to this world, and a representation of him, the brightest expression of his own glory. And he sent his Son to save us from our sins. And so we find that not only is Jesus the brightest expression, or the exact representation of the Father, we also find that Jesus was the manifestation of the Father's will. Okay? Didn't Jesus say in John chapter 6, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me? And this is the Father's will which hath sent me. No question about who is sending. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. You know, that's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture because it speaks volumes. It speaks so comprehensively of who Jesus is and what he was sent to do and what he would accomplish, the scope of what he accomplished. Not only did he save us from our sins, but he's coming back to get us. He's going to raise us from the dead. He's going to take us home to be with him. What else is there to do? That's the greatest expression of the will of God in saving his people from their sins. That was our Father's will. That's the love that the Father has for his children. He provided for them in the greatest way possible, saving us from our sins. So as we think of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the brightest expression of his glory and the express image of the Father's person. Oh, as we think about our Father, aren't you glad he's our Father? Aren't you glad that we have his Spirit, that he's given us his Spirit that enables us to cry unto him, Abba, Father? You know, no longer do we speak of him just as God or the Lord, but now we can claim that personal relationship with him because of what Jesus has done for us. We can claim that relationship. When I say Jesus, what Jesus, not only did he save us, but he is the life-giving voice that speaks life into us. Yes, he does that. And so as we think about not only who he is, but what he's done for us. So when you read a verse like 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, speaks about God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's why Jesus is the brightest expression of his glory. That's why Jesus is the express image of his person, because he came and did the Father's will. And it was God's purpose and grace before the world began. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? You know, the Bible says that the earth is probably around 6,000 years old or so. But, you know, when you hear these people saying 20 million, 50 million, 100 million years ago, that tells you something about their understanding, doesn't it? Now, I understand that there's people that says, you know, they claim that creation took millions of years. You know, creation, instead of a 24-hour period, they claim that each day of creation was millions of years. I don't subscribe to that. But there's probably some good-hearted people that have bought into that. I know some good folks today, a man and his wife, that they both told me, and they're as loving of people and they're as understanding of the scriptures as anybody you'd want to know. But they told me that there was a time in their life when they bought into evolution and all those things taught by Darwinism. They bought into that in their college days, but God delivered them from that. But bless your hearts. When we look at God, it was his purpose from the foundation of the world to send his son to this world to save his people from their sins. And we rejoice that that's our Father's will. That's the love that the Father has for his people. That's the power that he's manifested on behalf of his people. He has power over death. Doesn't that rejoice your heart? Every day we're reminded through either our experience or the experience of others that we're dying each day, that we're declining, that sin is taking its toll, and we see it taking the life of our loved ones or friends or acquaintances or just reading about others that it's happening to in this life. But what a blessing it is to know that God has power over death. And that he saved his people, every one of them, without the loss of one, he saved his people by sending his son to this world bless your hearts, we don't have to worry about whether men has gotten to them with the gospel. We don't have to worry about whether men have filled out all the recipe and met all the requirements and all those kinds. No, the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the one who has saved us from our sin. We can rest in that. And we can rest in the fact that he has power over death. And if we know him, if he lives within our hearts, and bless your heart, there's nothing can ever separate us from him. Heaven will be our home. Someday we'll be blessed to be with him, with all the redeemed family of God, without the loss of one. Because what Jesus did in doing the Father's will. Didn't he say, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work? He did it. And we can rejoice in that. All right, so to know who he is, to know what he's done through his son. But you know, that's not all. As a good father, he provides for us each day, doesn't he? What is it, Psalm 68:19? He daily loadeth us. Let's see, I've got it. He says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Then you got one of those, Selah. Selah. Now in music, that's a rest. But just reading the Word of God, when you come to a Selah, that means to pause and consider. And when you pause and consider that God daily loads us with benefits, does that mean now and then? Does that mean some days? Does that mean some of his people? No. It means all of his people have the blessed benefits of God the Father, because he's a loving God. He's our provider. He's so many things. David called him our shepherd. But our Father daily loads us with benefits. Now, somebody might say, well, preacher, I don't know. I didn't feel like that the Lord's loaded me with benefits some days. Really? Well, I would like to know what you're thinking about. Because isn't the benefits of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon you at all times? I tell you, when I stop and think about the glorious benefit of being under the blood of Christ, something that can never be removed from me, something that will never lose its power, I tell you, if I were to think about that more often, my day would be more filled with thanksgiving and praise to his holy name for placing me under the blood of Christ. So, don't you breathe air? You know, this world that God has provided for us is a wonderful environment in which to live. How about go try to live on the planet Jupiter? You know, this just the air that we breathe is a blessing from God. How many times do you take a breath throughout the day? I encourage you to do that a lot. Right? All right, so he daily loads. I could keep going, but I think you're getting the drift of what we're talking about. And by the way, if you're not of a mind to think that God is doing that, then you're not thinking about what God provides for us on a daily basis. You have forgotten the blessings that we have from the Lord on a regular basis. Because the truth of the matter is, he daily loads us with benefit. So what we have is that God is holy, just, right, and good, and all those attributes that we can think about our God, our Father. And he's provided for us eternally through his Son, in sending his Son to this world. And the more we learn about our Lord and Savior, that's the parting words of the Apostle Peter. In 2 Peter, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The more you learn about him, the more you learn about the Father. Because the exact representation, the brightest expression of his glory, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So who he is, what he's done for us eternally, and what he's doing for us each day. And I'm telling you, each day without exception, without limitation, he daily loads us with benefits. So, I think that begs the question. As good as he is, and there's no way we can ever describe the extent of the goodness of our God. That's why we'll be praising him in all eternity. World without end. But as the goodness of God, the love of God, the power of God, the mercy of God, all the grace that he's bestowed upon us begs the question, then how can I honor him the best? You know, even one of the Ten Commandments tells you to honor thy father and thy mother. Well, how much more? Like that verse Brother Kenneth quoted, how much more shall your father in heaven? If we're to honor our earthly father, how much more are we to honor the God of glory, our Father which is in heaven? You know, he's infinitely more worthy of our honor than earthly fathers, as good as earthly fathers are. He's infinitely more worthy of our honor than an earthly father. So how can we honor him? Well, Jesus said, he brought up the subject of love, didn't he? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, wait a minute, preacher, I thought you were talking about the Father, not Jesus. Well, Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So the kind of love that Jesus has for us, the kind of love that we're to show to him, is the same kind of love that the Father has for us. All right? So when we think about, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love your Father in heaven, keep his commandments. Honor him. How do we do that? Well, the choices that we make each day, the things that we do, the things that we say, all that we do should honor our Lord. It should be in the forefront of our mind that whatever we do, we're walking in the sight of God, we're walking before him, and we want to please him. We want to bring honor to his name. We're his children, right? We don't want to bring dishonor to his name. We want to bring honor to his name. Now, in 1 John 4:19, it says we love him because what? He first loved us. Well, we're not doing anything he hadn't already done for us. If we love God, it's because he first loved us. And the kind of love that he has for us is pure and unending and holy. So when you think about the love that God has for us, if we're going to be salt and light, if we're going to be light and reflect that to this world, it needs to be the kind of love that God has for us. We'll never love to the extent and to the purity of God, but bless your hearts, we could try. We can try to show the love that's been shown to us, all right? So if we're going to honor him, John 13, what is it, verse 34, 35, he says, by this shall all men know, well, it's verse 34, I think he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I've loved you, that you love one another. Then he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How can we honor him? By others seeing that we're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a child of God, a child of our Father which is in heaven. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Sounds like a theme there, doesn't it? Love. Love should be an important part of what we show to others because that's the outstanding characteristic of what God has shown to us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, 1 John chapter 4 says much the same thing, but let's read a few verses. 1 John chapter 4, let's begin in verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Oh, what a blessing. What love that we have by God sending his Son into this world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son, or sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, propitiation is a big word, but hopefully we've learned what it means because of the Bible. But it simply means that he gave himself. He was our substitute. He was given in our stead because he's the one that's worthy. His blood was pure. He had no sin about him. We were sinners, but that's why Jesus had to come to save us from our sins. And because he had no sin about him, he was a fit sacrifice. And he was the one that was offered in our stead to pay our sin debt. So that's what propitiation is all about. So he says in verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." That's how we can honor our Father. That's how we can honor what he's told us to do, by loving one another and loving him. Now, Brother Kenneth was in Matthew 5. I want to notice a little bit about what Jesus said there in Matthew 5 about this. Matthew chapter 5, you know, that's the part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. Let me read verse 43. I'll begin in verse 43. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Now that's Old Testament teaching, wasn't it? He says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Ah, wait a minute, preacher. That's going a bit far. That's kind of radical. Love your enemies? Well, that's the word of God. That's what God calls upon us to do. Do you realize when God set his love upon us, well, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. But in this world, we were enemies to God, before he sent his Spirit in our heart and called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Love your enemies. That's what God did for us. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. So he says, "But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them which curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." That kind of covers it, doesn't it? If we're going to be the kind of obedient disciple, loving disciple, one that honors our Father in heaven, this is part of his teaching. And it's part of his teaching that we conveniently cast aside or conveniently forget sometimes, don't we? Let's be honest. Let's be honest about that. It's real easy to go to something else besides following that part of what God says. But I remind you, that's exactly the way we were before God sent his love into our hearts. And so he's not calling upon us to do anything he hasn't already done for us. Love your enemies. That doesn't mean you're going to help them to do what they're doing, but you're going to pray for their welfare. You're going to pray for their good. All right? Well, here's what I want to get to. Verse 44. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 45. "You're to do that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Do you see how God is a loving God? There are those that don't return love to him. They don't have the love of God in them, but they still receive of his goodness. And so should we treat others according to how God has shown us his love. We should be loving toward others. How did he say that? That we may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now wait a minute. Doing good is not going to make you a child of God, but it's going to manifest the fact that you are. It's going to show forth that you're honoring your Father in heaven by following what he has told us to do. And don't we want to honor our Father? You know, I've known some mighty good fathers in this world. Mighty good. I mean, giants among men. But the best of them pales in comparison to our Heavenly Father. And if we're going to honor anybody, let's make sure we honor him first and foremost, because he's the most deserving of it. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That's the best way we can bring glory to his name. That's the best way we can honor him, by being the kind of child of our Heavenly Father that we should be, so that we can be like him and that we can love like him. Our God, he's worthy of our love, our affection, and our obedience to his word. May God bless you is our prayer.